Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Listen up, Sydney. There's a new kid in town. Mick Molloy has come to play with the big boys. And there's no bigger boy than the King of the West, the Wild Panther, MG. So buckle up. This is going to be one hell of a ride. Mick and MG in the morning. What could go wrong?
Why don't we get straight into sport?
MG's Sport Report.
Kenny now goes to the right to Yo, holds it up, gives it to Cleary. Cleary with the floater, out it goes to Taruma. Taruma gets over. Clinical, the Panthers doing what they do so well. Passes to Cleary. Dummies again. Then he puts Isaac Tomor away for a lovely try. They're putting on a show, Penrith. Mitch Kenny has cut the Broncos middle to smithereens. Cut out ball, Tomor. Tomor on the run. Tomor for the line. Tomor scores. Oh, they're too good, Penrith.
Yeah, they were last night, the Panthers. Another night in the NRL and another Penrith Panthers masterclass in front of over 20,000 people at Bluebet Stadium. It was basically Nathan Cleary at his best. Set up five tries. Unfortunately for the Broncos, they lost their star player, Walsh, early in the game. Reece Walsh, who had a sickening head clash with Taylor May from the Panthers. Simply an accident. Had they happened in rugby league, unfortunately for Broncos, Walsh didn't come back on the field and basically their attack... Was null and void. So Penrith had a convincing win last night, 34.
Yes, business as usual, back at the top of the table, is it?
Yep. Yeah, they are. And they look really good. Tonight's game is a must-see as well between the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. The Book of Feuds continues. All eyes will be on Jack White and Latrell Mitchell and Jared Waerea-Hargreaves, the front row, the big husking front row from the Roosters, plays his 300th game, which is a fantastic milestone.
Just before you get into the Golden Slipper, I, of course, was watching Collingwood St Kilda last night.
Yes.
And Collingwood have lost three in a row. Ooh. And that's great for everyone else in the competition because we just love it. And we also love watching coaches under the pump. And Craig McRae, who's had a great year last year and was very upbeat at press conferences, kind of lost his marbles a bit at the post-match press conference last night. Here's what he said in response to a question.
Change, because at the end of the day, if you have too much cheese on your lasagna, it doesn't matter. Okay, it won't affect the result. It doesn't. The kitchen dirty or the cheese on the lasagna, that doesn't matter. Yeah, you got to get busy and do the things right. The fundamentals of the game are really important, and that's where we'll put our energy.
Corn meat sauce.
I actually need to go a little bit less lasagna at the minute. So, thanks, guys.
That's Collingwood's problem. Too much cheese lasagna. On the lasagna. Oh, boy, where the wheels fall off. They really fall off. That gave me great joy to watch that. Watch a grown man squirm.
Oh, yeah. I bet most represents of Collingwood. The same way.
What a big time it is in Sydney town. We touched on this yesterday. We've got the Royal Show up and running. And one of the great days on the racing calendar at Rosehill.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow, the Golden Slipper. We know all about this. What's going down?
Well, a real Penrith feel about it because, as they say, a horse walks into a bar. Well, this one actually did. The Storm Boy, the favourite of the Slipper. Gay Waterhouse was so keen to entice owners into the Storm Boy before he started racing. She paraded him in front of patrons at the beer garden at the Penrith, the log cabin where the Olotype wine group were there watching, and they bought 20% of this beautiful horse. And it's been flying. Now they're off to Mittagong today to Gay Waterhouse's farm. So it's a big Penrith feel. And also Dan Perry from Parkview Pizza shares in another horse in the Slipper today, tomorrow called Fully Lit. So has a real good Panther feel about it, the Golden Slipper. It's the richest race for two-year-olds in the world, with $5 million up for stakes. Unbelievable.
When I think of horse racing, I think of Ascot and Penrith. Just that real top end of town. So everyone in Penrith getting around in morning suits, are they, with the top hat and the old tails? You're heading out to the track yourself, are you?
I'm going straight from here to Gay Waterhouse's farm with the boys. Let's go.
What's it starting at? Is it starting favourite?
235 favourite. That and Switzerland will be the favourites, I think, and have a little bit of each way on the horse from Parkview Pizza at Ludnam. Full Ilit.
And the Australian Grand Prix is go. Formula One! Into the first chicane. It's wheel to wheel.
Such a high-speed part of the racetrack.
It's total, total chaos.
When is the win? You take it.
Yes, the Australian Grand Prix kicked off yesterday in fine fashion. 65,000 people got out there to enjoy the sights, the sounds and the smells of motor racing. And they came in hot. It's going to be another ripper. Joining us now on the line is the newly minted CEO of the Australian Grand Prix Corporation, Travis Old. How are you, Travis?
Good morning, guys. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having
me. That's the way. Congratulations. You're off to a flyer. It's going to be an exciting 4 days, isn't it? We've got two Aussies going around in the big one.
We have. I mean, we started strongly yesterday. The weather's been kind to us this year, and so we had, I don't know, 65,000 people here yesterday for the V8 Supercars who kicked us off, which is a fantastic way to start the 4 days. And today we kick into the F1s, and, we've got two Aussies who are going to give it a red-hot go.
Obviously, the Formula One's the big ticket item, but you're right, the supercars are well represented and fun to watch out there. Good luck to Dave Reynolds, who'll be going around again. How do you stop the Red Bull team?
I think that's a question they're all talking about other than the Red Bull team. They're chasing him at the moment. I think they're all sitting there waiting for them to make a mistake. But there's races within races. As you say, we've got two of our guys going around who haven't finished. We haven't had an Aussie finish on the podium before. And so everyone's barracking for that here.
It could happen. You'd love to see a Shoey on the podium in Melbourne for the Australian Grand Prix. Nothing would be sweeter. It really is one of the premier sporting events, and people travel from all over Australia to go. I'll be travelling down to Melbourne later on today myself to take part in it. It's just one of those rare sporting experiences that people just have to get into, and it's getting more and more popular. Why? What do you put that down to? Is it that Netflix series Drive to Survive? There seems to be a lot more interest from women, or just the general public. It's a lot more general than just hardcore motor fans, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, Mick. That's the bit that everyone's noticing around the world, and we've certainly seen here in Melbourne. So in the last sort of 4 years, Drive to Survive, I think, has been the ultimate push. We've had, I think last year's event, we had 37% of people who came along. We're here for the first time. 40% of those were females, more kids, more families. So what the challenge that comes with that and the big opportunity is to build out the off-track activity to make sure there's things for the kids to do. A bit like the Australian Open's done, create a festival around the game. Yeah. And that's been our focus.
Can you bring back the celebrity race? I'd really like to rear end Dr. Chris Brown. Can you organise that?
A lot of people would. Your name came up. I think you might have
gotten
some money.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll sit in the back and let my chauffeur drive. That would be a fun way to do the race. It looks like the weather's going to be good. And it's a marquee race on the calendar too. It used to be first, but now it's the first day race. And there's still a lot to work out between the teams. So it's unfolding in front of your eyes out there on the track. Congratulations to you. You've got the job and you're doing a magnificent job. The last time we caught up, I should point out, was at Taylor Swift.
We're dancing together. Last time I saw
you and me, we're dancing together. The CEO of the Grand Prix Corporation and FM DJ. Wow, who knew that was going to happen?
I think we're both dancing on the inside anyway.
Yeah. That's right. We were asked to stop by security. They said, you're just ruining it for everyone. Good on you, Travis. Good luck. I hope it's great. And I hope to see, you're dead right to see an Aussie on the podium. We got two irons in the fire. Would be great for all. Get along to the Grand Prix. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, guys.
And we are also excited that the Royal Easter Show is up and running. So much to drink in. Make sure you get out there. I'm perturbed to hear just now there are women woodchoppers. That's
what?
Why?
They've crossed the line.
I was watching the news and they're fantastic.
I just don't think chopping wood is very ladylike.
Oh, yeah, give me a break.
They wear a singlet.
Oh, don't you start, MG. You've got
pop
notice.
A bra on
are
under
they,
that no, singlet.
Are they wearing a singlet? I want to know. Like, is it?
Well,
same,
of course, they're in the same uniform.
It's why not, are they even out of the kitchen? Like, seriously.
Well, that's a good point.
I don't facilitate.
Are they wearing an apron?
No, but they're very good, is all I'm saying. Mm. Highly competitive.
Probably way more nimble, can like make their own little stadium as they go up the little post.
All right, let's not get all femo about it. Good luck to the ladies. Yes. Go hard, attack that piece of wood. Something else we didn't get to. We were talking about all the things we love. What about the giant bits of vegetables? You know, this is these maddies who spend all year trying to make the world's biggest pumpkin.
Mm. Yeah. Amazing.
How good is that? They've done it again, the Great Backyard Pumpkin Challenge. It's held every year. It's a crowd favourite. And there's one there that's 183 kilograms.
Jeez. Wow.
How good would that be to see?
Oh, Andre, God. The giant pumpkin, that one. Jeez. Mm.
See, that's what the women should attack that with their axe and then cook it.
Oh, pumpkin pie, yes.
You're about to get a walloping.
I know.
You're going to end up like that lasagna that we talked about earlier.
Isn't that fantastic? Do you like the big veggies?
Yes, I do. Ooh. And especially when they're a funny shape, because you're like, what have they grown that in?
And they never give away their secrets. If you go and interview them, which I have, saying, what's your secret to growing?
What, do you interview the pumpkins?
The people that grow them, like a massive cucumber, they won't give away the secret.
Mate, tell me how you made the massive cucumber. And that takes a lot of effort over a year, doesn't it?
100%.
It's some guy down the bottom paddock with a giant cucumber. Mm. I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
Hey, we talked about the show bags. So many. We all had our favourites. But the one that's proving very popular this year is the Triple M show bag.
Roll up for the Triple M show bag featuring the Mick and MG bum bag. Triple M rocks your suburb sticker and an icy cold can of Coke. But that's just the start. The Triple M show bag is now even more tailored to our audience. Now featuring a lockpick, pair of pliers, a hammer and crowbar. Slip on the signature black and orange moccasins, fire up the DIY teeth replacement and home tattoo combo kit. Plus, we've got you sorted with a ream of Centrelink forms. And this year's new addition, the Triple M Mick and MG mini meth lab. Get your hands on it at the Royal Easter Show.
That's a bit of fun at home.
Yes.
It's Mick and MG in the morning, Triple M.
I think we all agree women are high maintenance and hard to please at the best of times. Well, no, come on, be honest. You are.
No,
we're not. Oh,
we're very low maintenance, especially on
this room.
Why, Iota?
I'm just saying, I'm not the Lone Ranger, and you're very judgy, and you're often judging men, and you do it regularly, and you can do it at will. Yep. It's just, we've all been on the receiving end of a spray from a woman.
No.
And right now, out there on the internet, there's a list of what women are calling icks.
Yep.
Things about men that give them the icks. And some of this stuff is hurtful, MG. To think we live amongst them, and yet they can turn on us on a dime and criticise us for stuff that I would have thought was pretty ordinary. Can I give you some examples of icks that women,
please,
and then we'll get on to yours. A woman saw a guy working under the hood of a lifted truck, and because he was reaching in, his feet were dangling off the ground. Complete.
That's a turn off.
That's a turn off. Apparently, wow. That's a complete
turn off. It's a bit childish. Like, get a stool.
running with a backpack on. Apparently, that's enough to make a woman's blood run cold. Their nose whistling when they breathe.
Oh, that's, no one likes that.
Really? What? Mm. Are you talking about anyone in particular?
Oh, there is some loud breathers in this studio. Some very loud breathing.
Girls, men applying chapstick in public. Now, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, Napoleon's done that. Napoleon Bonaparte.
Did he?
Yeah.
When?
Was chapstick around then?
No, I don't think it was a chapstick.
It was called something different back then, but he was the original. That's a fact.
And out of everything you could possibly know about Napoleon Bonaparte, how do you know that he used to pop on the chapstick?
Because in the movie with Joaquin Phoenix, he applies... Is it Joaquin?
Joaquin Phoenix, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he applies some stuff on his mouth. And they said that he had chafed lips back in the...
So just before Trafalgar and just before like Waterloo, just before he goes into battle, he just pops on a bit of chappy.
Something
does he? And
I don't remember that scene, and I've seen it.
Oh, come on, Kat. You're just...
One of the greatest military leaders of all time, and you're suggesting he pops on chapstick.
And all the women in the theatre went, ew.
Yeah, correct.
They said, no, we really don't like him.
Men ice skating when they're bad at it.
That's true. You look ridiculous.
They look a bit foolish. Yeah. Well, another one says a grown man chasing a ping pong ball.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Pretending to drum.
Air guitar.
All right, girls. I mean, are these on the money? What else? Unleash, do you have any that to you are complete tools down when it comes to men?
Yeah, I've got one. This is taken off Married at First Sight, but when guys get together in a group and they yell out something that's clearly an in joke, like when this guy sees a decent looking girl that's walking down the road, they all go, deuce.
What does that mean?
Decent. So for hot, yeah. But I find like groups of men do that a lot. They yell, deuce.
Yeah.
Why not just say decent?
Yeah.
Why do you hate men so much?
No, I love men. I really do. But I can tell you a few more.
Okay, what else have you got?
You telling me, Mick Molloy, every day how lucky I am to be working with you. That's a big ick. I get that all the time.
But you have to admit, you
see again.
Have front row seats to the greatest show.
Instead of being so needy, showbiz. Like let me compliment you. You don't need to compliment you on behalf of me.
Well, I do. I do wait a bit, and I've given you plenty of opportunity to cough something up.
I haven't been able to get a word in.
In the end, I have to step in.
You said nothing about his beautiful shirt today, which he deserves.
Can I say, obviously, Royal Easter Show boot scooting theme with your beautiful shirt today, Mick.
Wow.
Is that too much?
Okay, that's going to cost you. Yeah. That
big time.
That is going to cost you right there. And what are your icks?
Oh, here we go.
Tash?
Okay, I'm reading from the list because I just love men. I don't have any icks. Men talk like babies, you know when they say, oh, my tummy hurts, can you get a little rubby?
What is wrong with you? Who does that?
Who talks like
that? You asked for a blanket.
Sounds like Glenn.
You
that sounds like Glenn.
And all I'm saying is a friend of mine's husband had man flu, right?
Yeah.
And the lovely wife was cooking his meal and said, sweetheart, would you like some chicken soup? And they went, I'm too weak to eat.
That's man flu, mate. That's a man flu. It's real.
It's not real.
Until you've had it, you wouldn't know.
Oh, it's almost up there with pregnancy. It's almost up there with pregnancy.
Oh, don't go there,
stop.
MG.
Oh.
I'm joking.
And MG, I'm on you for this one. Stop farting everywhere, like punctuation. It's disgusting.
Sorry, Tash. I did that the other day in a meeting. Yeah. I apologise.
We're in the middle of a meeting and I was like, what was that?
Are you saying MG farting in a meeting is an ick for you?
I thought it was, you know how we'd been hit by an earthquake? I seriously thought that's what had happened again.
All right. We are woefully late.
Yeah, we are.
Apologies. We're late for the news. Can you speed it up?
Yeah.
You seem to be going longer. Yes. Is that happening?
Good chat.
Just get to the headlines.
Okay. Dad jokes and next.
Oh, wow.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
MG's dad joke.
Well, thanks to the meat man. He's a good-looking rooster.
He
swans around. We met him at our listener party. Big hello. Thanks for supporting us too. A great butcher. Get on down and check out the meat.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Just to bring you up to speed, here's how it all went down last time.
But who do you know that can drink 5 litres of petrol?
Well, I don't know. Who?
Well, Jerry can.
Oh. Everyone was excited at the autopsy club. Yeah, it was open mic night.
Did you hear about the poker player who broke his arm?
No, what happened?
He's finding it hard to deal with.
I went to a psychic, I knocked on a door, she yelled out, who is it? So I left.
you get the idea. Nothing is too bad or weak for us to play on this segment, 133353. Hey, got a fresh one for us, MG?
You know I have, brother.
Go.
What do you call a magician who's lost his magic?
Don't know. What do you call him?
Ian.
You know what? I get it. I just can't be bothered laughing at that. Right, what else have you got?
How do you chase Will Smith in the snow?
I don't know. How do you chase Will Smith in the snow?
You follow the fresh prints.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Oh, he's on fire. He is throwing haymakers.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Tony's on the line. Here we go. Dad jokes, a go-go here. Big chance to win. What do you got, Tony?
Yeah, did you hear about the cops whose toilet got stolen?
No, I didn't. What happened?
Police have got nothing to go on.
Good start.
Oh, Tony, we're off to a flyer. Thank you. Daniel, what do you got?
Why did the chicken cross the soccer pitch?
Don't know. Why did the chicken cross the soccer pitch?
Because he heard the ref was blowing fouls.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's turned already. I love it when Dad Jakes goes a little blue, a little adult. Daniel's got to be in the conversation, big fella. Ooh, you're going to have to choose one at the end of this. Ed, Dad Good Jake, morning. Please.
Morning, Ed.
Good morning. What's the difference between an egg and a beetroot?
I don't know. What's the difference between an egg and a beetroot?
You can beat an egg.
Can't beat a root. I beat a root.
Oh, it works on many levels for me. Well done, Ed. Gee, good luck pulling these apart. They're all in the running. Yes. Sid, dad joke, please.
Yes, why did the golfer bring two pairs of pants?
I don't know why.
In case he got a hole in one.
Oh.
Very good.
Sid, and excellently told, by the way. Good luck picking one out of this field. Jen, boot at home. What have you got?
Did you guys hear about the cross-eyed teacher?
No. What about it?
Couldn't control his pupils.
Oh. MG, good luck separating those. Every one of them a minted classic.
Yeah, very hard to pick today, but I've got to go with Daniel Chicken, who's... the soccer pitch crossed the soccer pitch because he was blowing fouls.
Wow. Well done, Daniel. You've scored yourself $150 to spend at the Meat Man Wholesale Meats Narellan.
You there,
beautiful.
Dude? Yeah. Going to have a barbecue,
he's overwhelmed.
Got a double degree, two kids.
All right.
I don't know.
Is another joke?
Maybe. Block that call. Block the call. And we've been joined live in our Melbourne studio, as is the tradition here on a Friday, by our good friend, the big fella himself. It's Marty Sheargold. How are you, Marty?
How lovely to see you all, Kat. Hello, and MG buddy. And Mick. It's always a pleasure to chat with you guys on a Friday. What's happening, Mick?
Well, what's happening up here, mate, is the Royal Easter Show starts today.
Yes.
And it's absolutely very similar to the Royal Melbourne Show. The same type of stuff is going on. Do you have memories early of going to the show?
And yes, what are those I memories? Do. In the old days, before it had become sort of gentrified and they got the appropriate level of carnies involved, it could be quite frightening as you stood below the roller coaster and thought, is that a coat hanger holding those two bits of...
It's doing a lot of creaking.
A lot of creaking and the Dodgem cars. Pete Rosethorne, remember, used to do that brilliant routine about the guy jumping up on the back of the Dodgem car and going, turn to the left, mate, left hand down, left hand down. And that's what it was like. But no one had any teeth. Everyone had like builder's leather pouches on that they just kept shoving $5 notes in. Mate, they were making
What about
a
show
fortune.
Bags? Do you remember show your favourite show bags?
Yeah,
what was your favourite?
The Birdie Beetle was the big one when we were kids, Mick.
Yeah.
Anything with lollies. Cadbury's.
And on that front, did you ever have a Dagwood dog?
My God, I had a Dagwood dog recently at Moomba, Mick. It was the biggest Dagwood dog I've ever seen. It had to be 18 inches long. I was intimidated by it. Eating the sauce off the end of it, I thought if someone's taking a photo of me, this is worse than when Dutton went down to the dog. I was laying on my back, rubbing the dog on my face and all over my titties. Guys were like, get up and eat the dog, you idiot. I said, shut up. I'll eat the dog anyway. I want, mind your own business.
You're doing a Barnaby.
So we were having it. We were having a reminisce. The wood chop was always a big event, yes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then they would have things like Dale Buggins all of a sudden would turn up and jump 18 buses.
Absolutely.
On a motorbike.
And so you had the Holden Precision Driving Team that would just pop it up on two wheels and give it a bit of that. Some guy sitting in there like that for a whole lap. I'm going, Jesus, surely he's got to drop it. And who was the Tasmanian wood chopper that was the absolute...
Dave Foster.
Dave Foster. What a gun he was. Yeah. And I never understood that sport because they would chop wood wearing only Dunlop volleys. And I thought, well, you've lost your mind. You don't have it. You got it 3 inches one way, and you've halved your foot.
Dunlop volleys and a singlet. I just thought, now what kind of sportsman gets to go to work wearing a singlet
and Dunlop volleys
and a cigarette in their mouth?
Unless you're homeless, none of it makes sense.
Were all the wood choppers from Tassie?
The Valley of Sticks is no longer there, so I suppose most of them were. They love cutting down an old-growth forest in Tassie. Absolute animals, Mick, the Tasmanians.
They can do that before they can walk in Tasmania.
What did you think about Tasmania joining the AFL? I mean, I know we're chatting to Sydney at the moment, but I thought, I love the colour. I love the jumper. It's described, the green is myrtle, which of course is the same as the Rabbitohs.
About the jumper? They released the jumper with two holes for your heads. Oh, hello. Yes.
That's why they got 110,000 foundation members. It's really only three people, really, but they're all related.
It's actually only 50,000, but they're counting them twice.
They have to count them twice because they're Siamese twins. God, Tasmanians, boo. Grow up, you filthy animals.
I had my honeymoon in Tasmania.
Did you?
You had your honeymoon in Tassie, or you're a keeper. And what did you do? Where'd you go?
We went to Hobart Casino and stayed there and then done a couple of tours of wineries and didn't see much of anything but the bedroom. But
should on honeymoon. Tasmania. We did the casino, didn't we, Mickey, in Tassie? And when we came, we had to walk back to the lift, remember? And
that's right.
It was like we were chaperoning Sam Pang through some sort of sort of Asian summit. I've never seen so many people want a photo with a bloke. I'm like,
I'm glad we did well that day. I'm glad we did well that day because it would have been hard to have walked through that crowd who were wanting their money back, basically. Now, a couple of stories I just want to get to you quickly. I want you to read, and I'm going to get this book for you. The Pope's got an autobiography out.
Yeah.
He's making all kind of outlandish claims, including that he nearly gave up the priesthood because he was attracted.
Attracted to what?
A woman. He was attracted to a woman, and he couldn't get the thoughts of her.
What was his name? Is it just called Defrock Me?
Apparently he was freeballing under there.
Oh, for sure he was.
I
had my special shoes on when I had my camera in the front of my shoe, and I used to just sneak it under the Pope's frock and go, "Whoa, Jesus Christ.
Wow. Are you upskirting the Pope?
I was upskirting the Pope, and that man waxes. He is like a...
It's like a pendulum.
Oh, my God. No wonder they called
him Marty, they used to have, well, they still have it. It's called the Pope's testicle chair.
Is that right?
And they have this because back in the day, there was a Pope known as Pope Joan who famously turned out to be a woman.
Right.
And when they worked out that a woman had ascended to the highest role in the Catholic Church, God's right-hand man, they went, this can't happen. So all future Popes had to sit on the testicle chair, which was a raised like chair, like a toilet seat.
Yeah,
and you sit on it, and then they'd get under it, you know, like a mechanic.
And have a good old
workshop.
And have a look at your testes.
And they'd have to check out the goods and then sign off on it.
I've got one of those at home, Mick. I put goggles on and I sit someone up in the chair and I go, do whatever you want.
Yeah,
just be yourself. You got 10 minutes. Be yourself. Go.
Well, that's a whole chapter in the Pope's new book.
That's called You Got 10 Minutes. Be Yourself. Go.
I love it. Here's some reading material. Now sit on the testicle chair. All right, Marty Sheargold. Great to catch up with you. Have a great
lovely
weekend.
Lovely to chat with you, gang.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's What the f***?
WTF?
Hey, I got one for you. Natasha Belling, what's going on?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's what the effort.
Okay.
What the f***?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What's wrong with you? What have you done now? We know you're unhinged at the moment, and the whole Kate Middleton thing has got to you, and you've lost your mind, your tiny little mind.
I'm standing now, by everything I say.
Well, now I listen to the news, and all of a sudden there's some brand new, big, hyped-up intro to the news which names you as the principal architect of Triple M News. Here's how Triple M News was introduced today.
Keeping you up to date with what's going on in Sydney. Triple M News with Natasha Belling.
Whoa. What the f***? Yeah.
I didn't know that was happening.
Oh, it used to be. Amy upstairs.
It used to be time for Triple M, news. And then you'd have to introduce yourself. Now you've got some second banana bloke to do all the heavy lifting and I throw the rose petals out in front for you.
That's not true. I didn't know about it. And then lovely Rex said to me, oh, we've got a new intro for you. And I said, okay.
Bullshit.
Well, and apparently you've been working on another one.
Yes.
Keeping you up to date with what's going on in Sydney and your number one unequaled, unrivaled destination for every inch of Kate news from the world's number one unquestioned and unchallenged newsbreaker on Kate, Natasha Belling.
Yes.
That sounds better.
That's the one. We're going to run with that.
That's as long as your news goes for.
That is the new one. All right, MG, what have you got?
I know where the phrase breeding like rabbits comes from because in 1859, a man named Thomas Austin, he released 24 rabbits into the wild for sport hunting in Australia. 70 years later, the rabbit population grew to 10 billion rabbits.
What the f***?
Whoa.
Started with 24, 70 years, 10 billion. That's a lot of...
Sure is.
That was a rabbit making sex, by the way, making love.
Hey, I've got one for you, just quickly. Sorry, girls, let me jump in. I've got one. What about this? Tonight, MG is judging a dance competition. What the f***?
What?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Where?
At Panthers for the 2024 Stars of Panthers Dance for Cancer Foundation.
Good cause, albeit, but what are your bona fides here in terms of...
No idea. I have no idea.
What type of dance is it?
It's contemporary, I think. It's like Dances with the Stars, but it comes to Penrith. So,
they'll be doing like the Paso Dobles and they'll be doing all that stuff, and you're judging it. What are you going to judge it on? What are you looking for?
I suppose attire, how good they look, how they swoon each other, how they sweep, how they do the Madison or the nut push.
Are you looking for chemistry?
Oh, big time chemistry. That's number one, Mickey. Yeah.
Twerking? What about twerking?
Twerking will get a bonus point, but it won't get all the points. So if you're listening, contestants, be good and be nice and be on time because.
You're going to be nasty. You're going to be a nasty judge, or are you going to be encouraging? Like you're going to be one of those get off the stage. You have no right to be there.
I'll be encouraging.
And you're going to do a little dance yourself?
No, I can't. I can't dance. You know that.
MG's got great rhythm. I've seen him dance before. I think you're a great dancer, MG.
I dance on the inside, Tash. You know that.
Mm. You do a lot of things on the inside. if we could crack your noggin open and get inside there. Got one for us, Kat?
I do. The webcam was first invented when three staff members at Cambridge University wanted to see how much coffee was left in the break room so they didn't waste a trip going.
What the f***?
Wow,
that's not bad. Well, I've told you before that Big Brother was invented by a bunch of people who were drinking at a pub in northern England, and they wanted to know how often a badger came out of a badger hole, so they used to stay out and watch it.
What?
And then they got sick of waiting outside, so they put up a CCTV of the badger hole and sat in the pub and drank it. And the guy from the production company goes, if these guys will watch a badger maybe come out of a hole, they'll watch anything.
Wow.
And Big Brother was born. Mm. All right, Tash, what have you got?
We mentioned this earlier, but this is true. For the first time in the Royal Easter Show's history, it kicks off officially today, it will host International Women's Wood Chopping Championship events.
What the f***? I've already done it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but they also, this is the bombshell, receive equal pay. How good's that?
Awesome.
Hmm.
You've got a way of sucking the life out of what otherwise is supposed to be a fun segment.
And equal splinters.
You've turned this into a femo rant.
I haven't.
Unbelievable.
What? It's
unbelievable.
Timely.
Let's see if the listeners can't pick this back up and make it fun again. Bill.
Good morning.
Bill, what have you got?
Yeah, good. There's a guy that drove for the Nazi Mercedes-Benz team in the 1930s in Grand Prix. Yes. His name was Dick Seaman.
Oh, what the f***? No, now, cut it out, Bill.
Thumbs up.
Come on. Thumbs up. He drove for Mercedes.
Yeah, Dick Seaman. For him too.
Yeah, Richard Seaman.
Yeah.
Wow.
I
don't want to see him doing a shoey. All right, Bill. Thank you for bringing that to the table. Wayne, what have you got?
Across the Dutch, New Zealand folk have actually been trying to teach disability dogs how to drive. Are they going to run out of disability dogs or what?
Okay. Are you banging on the accent, aren't you, Wayne?
I did that time, but yes. No. In New Zealand, they're actually teaching disability dogs how to drive.
He wants the money bad.
New Zealand is teaching dogs to drive. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. How can they drive with their head out the window? Because I like putting their head out the window. So they'll have one hand on the wheel and their head out the window.
And a lampshade on their neck.
Who would make the best drivers? I think a beagle. A beagle would be a good driver.
It's got to be a Great Dane. They're the biggest.
A Great Dane would drive a truck. Beagle would drive a little Subaru.
Yep.
French bulldog, a mini.
French bulldog would drive a mini, yeah.
What about a sausage dog? What would, a little mini?
That'd be a golf car.
They'd be a Vespa.
It's a sausage dog and a Vespa. Give him $600. Wayne.
Wayne.
No.
Wow.
That's made for the weekend, guys.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, can you say thank you in your New Zealand accent, please?
Thanks so much, guys. It's made my weekend. April.
All right.
All right, we're done. Yeah, buddy.
Welcome to a wonderful week that was, and the Matildas are being immortalised in statue form after their efforts at the World Cup. So we ask the question, who else should get a statue?
Mick Molloy and his budgie smugglers at Bondi.
A little something for the ladies.
No.
You think that's going to be a lot of bronze in the downstairs department. That's all I'm saying. Well, that's dangerous. It could take someone's eye out.
We've already got a statue of MG right outside the Triple M studio.
Which, quite frankly, is, I believe, more dynamic than the original. I'm going to get it in later. I don't think it'll do the sports report. Will make more sense. Punching me in the face.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
You know, I take that statue home with me some nights and pop it on the couch and talk to it. What do you reckon now, MG? Is happy with maths or should we change it? No, we'll leave it on. Okay, MG.
Jim Jefferies joined us and congratulated MG on becoming a grandpa.
And Penrith, you must be the oldest grandfather out there, right?
I am by 20 years.
So your wife now is going to be a grandmother?
Yep.
That's fun. You'll get to have sex with a grandmother. That'll be something.
I've always wanted to.
Always wanted to. If mine was still alive, I'd set you up.
And 8% of Americans think that they could beat a lion in a fist fight. So while we had Jim, we asked him which zoo animal he'd fight.
I reckon I could give a platypus a good shellacking. If I really did, if I just grabbed it around its little legs or held it by the tail and just punched it like a speed bag, right? I reckon I could
you're gonna punch
me.
A platypus. It's an endangered species, mate.
Indian ravers are using snake venom to get high.
So you'll be out at a party and someone will be coming up to you going, hey, what do you need? Cobra, viper, brown, tiger? You'll be getting kicked out by a bouncer? I'm going to have to ask you to apply a tourniquet. We'll get one of your mates to suck some of that poison out. Imagine seeing two blokes disappearing into the handicapped toilets with a tight pan. All right.
We're talking expensive mistakes, and of course MG had a few.
I put my head through the front gate, which was kind of, you know, the little slates that you put your head through. And the next minute I know, I couldn't get back through the other way, so the fire brigade were called. Cost my mum and dad back then $450 to pay to the... that was 1975 to pay the fire brigade. But the thing was, I did the same thing 6 months later.
Okay, you're a problem, Chuck.
We learned Japan has a shortage of ninjas.
I'm going to take it up. I would be nimble and you wouldn't know I was there. I could appear from nowhere. I got a pair of kung fu shoes. The fact checkers have just put their thumbs down.
MG told us what might be the most Aussie child conception story known to man.
Well, my mum was working at the Blacktown Drive-In when my dad was courting her, and in her dinner break, they were in the back of Dad's panel van, and 9 months later, out comes little Marky.
Aww.
If Jesus was Australian, that's how he would be born. Not in a manger with three wise men. In the back of a panel van in a drive-in in Blacktown.
And finally, we learnt that Pope Francis almost turned away from the cross after being infatuated with a woman.
I'd love to see a pants man pope. If the Pope Mobile's rocking, don't bother knocking. As they say.
Foggy windows.
Jeez.
You know, imagine him doing all the commandments. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbour's wife, unless she's a babe and he's not home.
And there wraps up another wonderful week that was on Mick and MG in the Morning.
And we've been joined live in the studio by the brains behind Sports Bazaar, the number one sports podcast in the country, bar none, featuring Titus and me. It's a cracker. Get on board. Have a go. What have you got for us today?
Well, I thought with Formula One on it this weekend.
Yes.
I thought we'd go back and tell the story of Hesketh Racing.
I love Hesketh Racing. Oh, they changed racing forever.
They did.
They knew how to party. They brought it. I love. This is one of my favourite episodes.
Well, they were one of the first to really have that kind of, you know, have food and champagne and all that. They introduced a lot of things. They shook up racing, so back in the 70s and 80s. So the guy behind it was a guy called Lord Alexander Hesketh.
Mm-hmm.
He was a young guy. Like, he was about 19 when he decided to do all this. He had inherited an absolute fortune.
Yes.
So he decided that, you know, he already was sort of this guy. He had like a Rolls Royce that had pinstripes painted down the side.
Yes.
He hung out with models. He drank champagne, smoked cigars. Everything was expensive. He even once explained that he had quite a low boredom threshold. So you can see why Mick's really relating to this guy, right?
I want to hang out with him.
So he met a guy called Anthony Bubbles Horsley, who had been a racing driver, drove with Frank Williams, all those sort of guys. He met him, and they were getting drunk at a party, and Horsley was actually a car salesman. And he started talking to Hesketh and said, I want to sell you a Rolls Royce, because he heard he was rich.
Mm.
And by the end of the night, they're so drunk that Hesketh actually sold Horsley his Mercedes, even though he wasn't a car salesman. The next day, Horsley finds out that it's actually Hesketh's mum's Mercedes, and he has to give it back.
That's a good night.
And then he has to chase Hesketh for the money, even though Hesketh is filthy rich for months, but they become friends through him chasing the money. So they decide to start a Formula 3 racing team.
Yes.
And they show up and they're a joke. Everyone just thinks they're terrible. They're loud. They muck around. They hire a guy called James Hunt.
Oh, we all know James Hunt, famous, one of the most flamboyant playboy drivers, pants man, that's right, MG, of all time.
So Hunt says, you know, they say, he's looking for a ride, and they say, well, you know, would you race for us? He says, sure. And Hesketh's a bit not sure, because he's heard that, you know, Hunt crashes cars a lot.
Yes.
He goes very fast. And he says, oh, you know, will you promise me you won't crash any cars? And Hunt said, no, you can trust me. In the first race, he crashes both of their cars and writes them off. So they're looking at what to do, and they're trying to decide what to do. They start to go, okay. Hesketh lends Hunt his Porsche Carrera RS one day. Hunt says, I'll go get it serviced for you. Hesketh says 2 years later he still has never seen. So it's all these hijinks going on.
They were
on,
loose,
right?
Cannons. They were all loose. Under the one tarpaulin.
Yeah.
They were hilarious.
So they're doing so badly in Formula 3.
They do the obvious thing.
Yeah, they go to Formula 2. And they do okay in a couple of races, but then it's an absolute disaster. So Hesketh says one day, we had failed in both Formula 2 and Formula 3, So Formula One was the only logical place to go. So suddenly they go to Formula One.
Tell us what they brought to the table at Formula One.
Well,
level.
Formula One, they show up and they've got, they're the first to wear team jumpsuits in like bright colours. Up until then, they were just grey to not show the oil. But they show up and everyone thinks this is terrible, but then everyone copies it. They have helicopters bringing in VIPs. They have a butler bringing serving champagne and oysters. Everyone thinks these guys are
hospitality tents.
Yeah, hospitality
tents. And prior to this, it was just hardcore racing types.
Yeah.
So the circus you associate with horse racing has brought now to motor racing, and it was the biggest game changer.
Yeah, they were the first. He brought all these young aristocrats and all this along and got them into racing, and all the money comes in. They all think he's a joke. He says, you know, a lot of people want to make money to store it away. I want to make a lot of money to be able to spend it. Yeah. So this is what. So racing is a good thing. He manages to poach a guy called Harvey Postlewaithe, who's this engineer, genius F1 engineer. He poaches him. Someone, a journalist says, how did they poach you? Because he was working for a company called March, who were a big racing company. They said, why'd you go to Heskett? How could you possibly go there? They're like a joke. And he goes, they got me drunk.
That's on here. It's on here, brother. It's on
here. So you've got him and you've got Hunt. He gets Hunt. He puts on a badge on his driver, Hunt, James Hunt's jumpsuit that says "Sex, the Breakfast of Champions." So they're doing this, and like you got to remember, Formula One was very conservative, and they're doing all of this. So they're absolutely everywhere they go, they party. It's a huge night out all the time. One night, Lord Alexander brings home a woman to the hotel, and the person at the door, they're in Rio, says, "Sorry, you can't bring her in." He goes, "How dare you? This is my sister." Like they're just absolutely out of control. Finally, though, in 1975, they earn 33 points. They finish fourth in the championship.
Yes.
This is like they've come from nowhere. They've never been good at Formula 2, Formula 3. And at this point, he decides, Lord Heskett, I can't afford to do this anymore.
Really?
And they roll it up. In their first 3 years that they'd been in it, though, done 3 years, they'd won one Grand Prix, 9 podium appearances, and 62 championship points, which is astounding for a group of guys
that are just starting out,
who have never done. James Hunt goes and signs with McLaren, becomes a huge superstar. All the things they've done, the hospitality, the uniforms, the partying, take off. They wrote a book of their own called The Heavily Censored History of Heskett Racing. and Lord Heskett said later on, "I'd be very unhappy to see if Grand Prix racing becomes a package which is clinically delivered at appointed times and venues, short breaks for autographs, a race, and then they all pack up and go. It would be very boring."
Well,
predicting almost exactly
what is going
to happen.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you very much. You can go and if you want to go back through some of our old podcasts, the Heskett Racing.
Yeah, James Hunt. I think it's a 2-episode series, and it is loose.
James Hunt. Wow, you want to honk onto this? All happening Sports Bazaar. It is with the hard work of Titus O'Reilly. Get onto it. You want to have a listen to it? It's all rolled gold, and we are done and dusted for another day.
Certainly are.
It's been a great week.
It's been a great week.
If we're handing out the votes, I'd get the 3 votes.
You're
pretty handy. Tash was in the running till she started big noting herself and writing her own intros for the news breaks. Play the one you just played earlier, please, Kat.
Keeping you up to date with what's going on in Sydney and your number one, unequaled, unrivaled destination for every inch of Kate news from the world's number one, unquestioned and unchallenged newsbreaker on Kate, Natasha Belling.
Pretty self-indulgent.
We played that as an intro to the news, and what was your reaction, please, Tash?
Obviously, that's not the right intro, but I'll try and remain professional. Let's check what's making news today. And gay conversion therapy has been banned in New South Wales.
Gay conversion therapy.
I then had to read the serious news, and you guys pranked me again.
Oh, well, that's what you get for playing with the big boys. Now, what else do we need to know before we sign off?
No, I reckon you're free.
Who's Maggie on Monday?
Oh, we have Dom Knight and Shannon Knoll.
Sure, Knollsy.
Knollsy.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Cannot wait. That sounds like a fun show. Humdinger goes up to 400.
Yes, 400 on Monday morning.
6 o'clock Monday morning. Early bird gets the $400 worm. Ooh, now, plans for the weekend, please.
Oh, tonight, as we know, we're going to do some judging at the dance. I'm going to go down to my brother-in-law's after watching some footy. So, yeah, nice weekend planned. You?
Tash?
I've got a massive girls' weekend. I'm one of 120 girls heading to a long lunch.
120?
Yes.
Whoa.
Holy moly.
Jeez.
Where to?
Give that a wide berth.
I can't tell you, but Kate will be top of the agenda.
Yeah, it's nearly.
Well, Kat, what are you doing?
I've actually got a girls' lunch tomorrow, so we'll come back on Monday and talk about our girls' weekends.
Compare notes, yes.
I'm off to the Formula One Grand Prix.
Oh, look out.
Are you going to make
I'm a 50-50 chance for Monday.
I'm
saying. All right, good work.
Have a good one.
Mick and MG in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.